Hello there, this is Dave Allen for Mac 20 Questions podcast. It must be about 2 or 3 years since I've been making specific Mac 20 Questions podcasts. I've been making videos to put on YouTube, which I show my viewers how to do things with various applications on the Mac, and also with iOS as well. In fact, I did one or two of those for showing people how to do things with Android. Anyway, there was a family event that stopped me from podcasting about 2 or 3 years ago, and I just didn't get back into doing it again. I get waylaid from one thing to another. It's always something that's bugged me a little bit about myself. But still, I'm back into doing something with Mac podcasts again. So now I think it would be interesting to talk to some of the people that I spoke to in the first round of Mac 20 Questions podcast. I thought it might be interesting to see how things have changed for some people. There have been some changes in my own way of working, and I even got pulled over to the dark side for about a year and a half when I was using an Android phone and also an Android tablet. The Nexus 7 is actually quite good. It was quite a good thing anyway to get a different perspective on technology and how it works and how I want to use it. In any case, after seeing what it's like being an Android user, I am quite happy to once again to be fully back in the Apple camp. It's so much easier when everything's on one platform or set of platforms, the Mac and iOS, rather than sliding in between the Android Google stuff and also the Apple stuff. I do see that there probably are some people that can be better off using or better suited using Android, or even, dare I say, Windows. Not one of those people myself. So anyway, I sent out an email to a few people and I asked if anyone would like to have a chat, and I got a few replies of the affirmative kind. The first person to get back to me was Michael King from Texas, and I know that Michael really enjoyed being interviewed about the hardware and software that he's using right now for his work and also for his personal use. So let's jump in now and have a listen to what Michael had to say when I talked to him about what he does with his Apple bits and pieces. Hello Michael, how are you doing there? Tell us about how things have changed since we last talked on the Mac 20 Questions podcast.
Yeah, since we last talked, I got a whole new setup.
I'll tell you what, I've just having a look at the text from our last talk. And do you know what? It's a bloody long time ago.
Oh yeah, it was
2009.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? Has 5 years gone by so fast?
Oh, God. a lot has happened since then. My apartment almost burnt down, and I've gotten big promotions.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah.
So when you say it nearly burnt down, when it burnt and any part of it burnt down, or like it just... go on, tell me the story.
The building right next to me went up last October.
Yeah.
And it almost got ours.
I think I might have saw a tweet about that, actually, but that's a long time ago as well.
Oh, yeah. It was last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, last October, I put a bunch of pictures up on Facebook and a few other things of the fire. Yeah, I've got my MacBook Pro Retina went down, and it was the motherboard, so they replaced it. I got a brand new one, and then I got... a new iMac.
Okay, what iMac did you get?
5K.
Oh, my goodness. There's a man with deep pockets.
Well, yeah, and my trash can Mac Pro got demoted to the office.
oh, dear, that's just terrible news, that is.
Yeah, and that thing was cost an arm and a leg, too.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with those trash can ones there, is that you can't run the 5K on there. Can you run 4K on those?
Yes, you can, but when you're scrolling on, a web page or anything, it has a tendency to tear a little bit. It takes a few minutes to catch up, where on the iMac, I can't believe how seamless it is.
And do you really notice a huge, big difference? Because I haven't actually seen them in the flesh yet.
Oh, God, yes. Well, see, I'm used to a Retina MacBook Pro. I've got the high-end one because I wanted the good built-in graphics.
Yeah.
And mine was the one that was the first of the Haswells that came out 2013, I believe it was. Well, the motherboard went out, and since it's under Apple Care, I said, oh, we'll just give you a brand new one. And all they did was just pulled out my drive. Pulled it out of the machine, plugged it in, and said, okay, we reset your iTunes to it, and everything. Said, here's your new computer.
That's cool, isn't it? That's the good thing about Apple. I mean, I got AppleCare with the iMac that I've got. The only trouble is the iMac is 3 years old now, and it's just a couple of months out of the AppleCare. And so if anything goes wrong with it now, I'm stuffed.
Oh, yeah. I'm very pleased. Like, I always get – I actually get the AppleCare for the iPhones because they – most of the time, no, if you drop it, it's under – if it's under AppleCare and you break the screen, no questions asked. Here's your new phone.
I think I got AppleCare with this iPhone. I didn't get AppleCare with the iPad.
I didn't either. In fact, I've gotten rid of my iPad.
Really?
Yeah, my 6 Plus does whatever I want it to. So, and I can read a book on it. And it's become my everyday, both my phone and iPad.
Okay, now there's a thing. Now, I did think about this quite a bit, about whether I should get the iPhone 6 Plus rather than the 6. And in the end, I went for the 6. And there was a couple of reasons. One was because I wanted to have a phone that would fit in my pocket nice and easily. And it has to go in my shirt top pocket because of when I'm working, and that's where I need to have it. Oh, yeah, I need an iPad as well. That's big enough for me to, you know, do some drawing on or something like that. Now, the thing with the iPhone Plus is that the iPad apps don't work on them, do they?
Yeah, no. It's the iPhone Plus, no. They have it's a hybrid type thing that when they're redesigned for it, and they're starting to get more and more apps redesigned for the iPhone 6 Plus. But see now, for me, when I go out in the field, I need a computer. So I use either my MacBook Pro Retina or my MacBook Air. And for Windows, I do have a Surface Pro 3 that I use.
Gosh, you're the person that bought one.
There's, in fact, the Surface Pro 3s are selling pretty good.
Are they really? Oh.
But, yeah, I have to use it because we have certain – my insurance company, there's just two apps that are Windows only. And since we can run Windows on the Mac, he said, the heck with it. Just run it in Parallels or VMware. Instead of doing that, I just go ahead and keep the Surface with me. So when I'm working, I don't use an iPad. I have a phone. Now, my work phone, I do like it. It's the Note 4.
Okay, yeah.
But my own personal phone is the iPhone 6 Plus.
So sometimes when these things are ringing and they're sort of calling for your attention, do you have to think, which one is it?
Generally, anyone calls me on the iPhone, I know it's not work-related because everything work-related goes to Note 4, and I can always get the notifications on the 360.
So the 360 that's the Moto 360 watch thing, yeah?
Yeah, I love it, and I just hope the Apple Watch is half as good.
Well, I'm sort of on the fence with the Apple Watch. Seen the thing, and you look at it, and the smooth lines of it, you think, gosh, I want one of those, you know, all nice and shiny and all that sort of stuff. And then you think, well, it's a lot of money for a watch. But then it's more than a watch. And then if you sort of like add up what you're spending, say, on buying a Fitbit and having the extra facilities that you get with the watch, maybe it is worth getting one after all. And I'm starting to think, well, maybe I'll be getting one of those when they become available anyway.
I'm probably going to get one. And it probably won't be my everyday watch when I'm working, because I generally keep the iPhone on vibrate, and where I could actually hear the my note going off, and also now with the watch. But when I'm not working, that stays all put up in the bedroom, and I'm strictly using my Apple stuff. That's when I use the Apple Watch.
Okay, now I'll tell you. Since we talked last, I went over to Android for about a year and a half. And I've just come back into the Apple fold completely, as it were. My Android phone, the Galaxy S3, I've given to my son. He's delighted with it. It was a good phone. Like, actually, I was quite pleased with it for the first 6 to 9 months with it. And I had a Nexus 7 as well, and I enjoyed that. I did an awful lot of reading with that, but I didn't do much else with it, to be quite honest. But then the thing with it was is that when you're going in between the two sort of systems, you know, we're using Apple stuff and then you're back to using stuff with Android, the mix between the two, it just gets a bit annoying sometimes. Did you find the same, or do you find the same with using the Note and your Apple stuff there?
Somewhat, but see, now on my Note, basically I just have, they have some of our apps that we can use that are mobile apps that are for both, he does in both iOS and Android. Other than that, that's all I generally keep on is work stuff. And then, of course, the our main work email is Gmail. So that, since a lot of our work stuff lives in the Google sphere,
yeah,
that's no big deal. And
well, I found that when I was moving over to using stuff on Android, it was easier for me to use a Google email address and keep, you know, a lot of stuff on Google, because it was easier doing it that way rather than having my Mac stuff being used on the Android platform. And that's the way I got around that.
That's basically what I do. The Gmail stuff, since it's on that, I just use that, and that's all I use the Google Maps. And now I use Google Maps a lot on the iPhone, but since I use Siri a lot, and I can just ask it to look something, it automatically just goes to the default Apple map. So I use it a lot, and I find the turn by turn is just as good.
Well, I was using the Google Maps there, and I thought they were okay. But the only trouble is for some reason or other, it always gets my home address wrong. It puts me somewhere in the middle of the forest, not far away from where I live, but it's away, and it's annoying. It is. I found that with the Apple Maps, it gets it right.
Yeah, I tell you, my main, now when I want to do a real, you know, navigation, there's this one. Let me look it up.
Another one I've been looking at is Waze. Have you been using that?
I use Waze. The one I like the most is this GPS Drive.
Okay, not heard of that one.
That's a real good one, and that's the one I use the most when I want turn by turn. But if I want something and I need not exactly know where I'm going, I just ask Siri. Then I go with the Apple one. I find that the GPS Drive and Apple are pretty doggone close.
So which are the apps that you tend to use mostly then? I mean, have you got sort of some apps, obviously you're going to have some apps which are more for business and then some apps which are more for your personal stuff. So which ones are you using most of then now?
The one I use the most, and I have on both the iOS, the Macintosh, and the Android, is this Line 2, which is a VoIP phone.
Okay, that's quite interesting, because last time we was talking, you were talking about using something called Uvu.
Yeah, I don't use it that much. The one I use the most now is Line 2, because, see, I can get it on everything. But Uvu, I do have it. In fact, I do have the updated app on the iPhone. And, of course, I use, since I have a Skype out number, I use Skype a lot, and I use Hangouts a lot because I do have a Google Voice number.
Okay. Are you still pleased with the way that Skype works, that now Microsoft has taken it over?
Yeah, I'm very happy with it. It works. It does what I want it to do. Someone calls me, and I get it, no matter where I am.
Yeah, I don't get many phone calls. I don't really need to have it on, really, so I forget about it most of the time. I kind of just tend to put it on if I specifically need to speak to somebody and they need Skype. So,
I leave mine up all the time because I always have someone calling me, and for some reason or another. And then, of course, as I said, sometimes for private numbers, I don't like to give out my home number.
Mm-hmm.
So I use either Skype or the Google Voice.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I use today, and I haven't used it for a voice call much before, is FaceTime.
Yeah, I use it a lot.
I was quite surprised how well it worked. I just put the email address in there that I wanted to connect to the fella, and I was hoping to get to him straight away. He had no idea who I was when I called him, because even though we had just been speaking on the mail, sending emails back and forward to each other, and it was so much better to be able to talk and discuss things, because we were discussing how to get GPG working. He was struggling with it.
I use it a lot because all of my friends that on Sundays we have during the home games for the Houston Texans, we tailgate, and on Friday we discuss what we're going to bring for the tailgate. So we do that a lot on Fridays.
Okay, now you're going to have to inform me there. What's tailgating?
Right before a game, you go out and barbecue in the parking lot of the stadium.
Oh.
And it's everybody gets together. It's basically a huge party before the game.
So there's going to be a lot of people there, all sort of all around the car park, sort of doing this, is there?
Uh-huh. You have to have a special ticket, and there's generally about, 5,000-6,000 people there.
Crazy. The smell of the meat roasting must be amazing.
Oh, yeah, and you have a little bit of everything.
Okay. I bet you don't do much for vegetarians, though. I'm a vegetarian, I am.
Oh, there's a couple of people that do a vegetarian one. And I tell you, the main thing you see a lot there is chili, ribs, gumbo, since we are pretty close to the New Orleans area.
Okay, what's gumbo?
You can put, like, you can have what's all vegetables that you put, like, okra, tomatoes, onions, and it's a very special sauce and everything. It's kind of spicy, but it's a very Cajun.
Okay, I like spicy. I think I'd like that.
Yeah, and there's another part, you know, also you use this, what they call this andouille sausage. It's hard to explain. It's a very spicy Cajun sausage. Then you throw in, you can put crab meat, fish, chicken.
Right then. So have you got any good tips that you've heard recently of using on either sort of Mac apps or with iOS applications?
Not really, because I try a lot of different stuff. And like right now, I'm doing the beta seeds of Yosemite. And I'm on 10.10.1 beta 2.
Okay, right, yeah. And is it all working well for you?
So far, I have been bitten by the Yosemite Wi-Fi bug a couple of times.
And what does that do?
All of a sudden, you're just going along for no reason. Your Wi-Fi just shuts off.
That's weird.
And then it will not see your Wi-Fi. You have to turn it off, turn it back on. It'll lock right back onto your Wi-Fi source. They say that it's on the Macs that are handoff ready, that, you know, can do handoff. It's something in handoff that was causing the problem.
Oh, okay, right. Well, I'm not going to be able to worry about that anyway, because my machine is over three years old now, and it doesn't have the Bluetooth LE, the Bluetooth 4.
My machines that have it had that problem, and they said there was a way of doing it. Just you copy and paste the terminal things that, I try to stay away from the terminal because it can get you into trouble real quick.
That is true. You have to be sort of particularly careful about where you get your information from for copy and pasting into terminal.
Yes, right. And that's what I said. I'm okay with it just every now and then. Now, since the beta 1 and beta 2 came out, I haven't lost any Wi-Fi problems. So it's been...
So you try these beta applications out, or the beta operating system, basically because you've got a spare Mac that you can do this with? That's just a kind of a toy for you, really?
Yeah, I have a 2011, the Sandy Bridge MacBook Pro that I do it on. And now, because of my Retina, I needed to make sure the Wi-Fi always worked, because it's... You know, you have this Wi-Fi, and you don't want to use that Thunderbolt dongle when I have all these Thunderbolt drives to hook up. I went and put it on the MacBook Pro, and that solved my problems. But otherwise, I keep it on a machine that's separate. Like, I was running the betas of Yosemite from WWDC on, and some of them, I'm glad I had it on that one, because there were some problems at times.
Well, I steered clear from the beta. I did actually sort of download one of the betas of Yosemite, and I thought about, I did set it up. I set it up on a spare SSD drive I got, and it worked okay, but as soon as I tried to use Dragon Dictate, it crashed. So
yes.
I decided, no, I have to have Dragon Dictate. If I haven't got Dragon Dictate, I'm going to be very unhappy indeed.
Yes, I hear you. That's one reason I stayed also for a longest time. Because I work, we work in an area that is Our office is a Mac office, but a lot of the offices in State Farm are Windows. So since we are in a Windows world, we have to use Office. Office 2011 was not working correctly in Yosemite, especially the mail. And some of those, so I said, no, I won't, until they get that fixed, I wasn't going to even think about putting Yosemite on any of my machines that are work-related. And the last beta, in fact, it was the one right before the Gold Master. All of a sudden, no, in fact, to take it back, it was the Gold Master. I just, for some reason, decided to fire up Office on the 2011 machine. It started working. Said, oh, okay. So when Yosemite came out, I went and updated because our other apps, because we have in-house apps, and they like to have people test them out on the new operating system. So that's why I need to keep a machine that runs that.
Okay, right, yeah. Yeah, did anything else break for you when you were doing all this testing?
Aperture at one time. It worked, but didn't work right. It worked. iPhoto never really worked right, but I really don't use iPhoto because I use Aperture or I use Lightroom, and I do have a Creative Cloud account, so I have Lightroom and Photoshop. They worked all the way.
Okay. Now, that's another can of worms, isn't it, Aperture, and the way things are going to be moving with Aperture being sunsetted and the fact that they're going to be coming up with this Photos app that is going to do all for everybody. How do you think that's going to work?
I really don't know. The big problem for me, I have a lot of albums that I have, and I don't know if it will keep all those, so I'm always kind of worried about that because I got everything. I got so many photos. The actual editing, I have doubts on it because there's a lot of editing features that are in Aperture or Lightroom that I don't know if they say they'll have some of it, but not all of them. They said not all of them. And I'm just kind of curious how that's going to work. I have an open mind, but I'm still not convinced.
Yeah. Well, I kind of the thing that worries me most about these things is I've got quite a few plugins that I use off Aperture. And I really like using them off Aperture because I don't like having to sort of export their photograph out onto some sort of folder, then go into the folder, find it, and then sort of do whatever I want in a different application, and then go back and put it into Aperture afterwards. It's much better if I can do the editing that I want to do. Say, for instance, in Intensify Pro, that's very good. Or I can use Snaphill Pro, any of those sort of applications. And I do the editing, click on OK, it's done. It's back into Aperture, and I know that I've got it there waiting for me. In fact, it's a copy of what I started with in the first place, so nothing's lost at all. And I wonder if it's going to happen. It's going to work like that with this new Photos app.
I have no idea, but now as long as Aperture runs, I mean, even if it doesn't run really efficiently, as long as Aperture runs in the next OS, I'll stay with it until it quits running.
Well, I mean, it was quite surprising, really, with the last updates with Yosemite. They actually did some more updating to Aperture, which was surprising because we all thought it was going to be sort of not worked upon at all after they made their announcement.
Well, being the beta program, they did tell us that they were going to do one final update to Aperture to bring it into Yosemite, but they said that it and iPhotos will no longer be updated because sometime early next year, I believe it is, they say the new Photos app is going to come out. And I'm still, as I said, I got plugins like you, and I have, as I said, I got these I forgot they call them albums or events projects in Aperture. And I got so many of them that go back, ever since Aperture first came out.
Right.
And I don't know if the Photos app in iOS, where it just took all of your photos and just throw it into one and did it by year. That I did not like that idea because I have these events. I can just look, or projects. I go to that project and look for the photos I want. I don't know if it's going to keep that file format or not.
And what about the using tags and things like that? Do you think that's going to sort of work well with this new version of Photos and being able to find the photos that you want that maybe we won't need to have stuff into albums?
It might. I've never set up tags. I just have to see. I'm going to have to see play with it. Said when it gets updated, I probably let it install, but I will not. I'll let it download, but I will not convert everything over to it until I bring up the app, until I see how it works. I'll use my test machine because I have an external hard drive that I keep a copy of everything, and I'll hook it up to that and just let it see what it does. If it works works good and everything looks fine, I'll consider it. But still, now my actual editing then will be strictly on Lightroom, and I'll just export into Photos.
Yeah, there's a lot of people going to be going over to Lightroom. I don't think I'll do it myself because I'm really kind of fond of Adobe products.
Yeah, I've always used Lightroom. In fact, I was using Lightroom, and then they did a major overhaul to Aperture. And I said, okay, what they did to Aperture really got me back into it. Now with this everything coming up and the sunsetting of Aperture, I like the pro apps. So I said, let me just go back to Lightroom.
Okay.
And I did that, but said, I'll play with the other one, see how it works when it comes out.
Well, they've given a lot of warning as to when this new Photos app's going to be coming out. And I would hope that it's going to be a good when it comes out and not going to do the sort of thing that they did with Final Cut Pro when it first came out. And it was a few of the things that were in the previous version were taken out. And so you missed a few things and you had to wait a few updates before you got them back again.
Yeah, I remember that because we do training for in-house. We did a lot of stuff in Final Cut Pro 7 and find out when they did 10, a lot of that stuff, and it would not import correctly. When it got fixed, and I said, I hope they don't do this again. Like you said, I don't, sometimes Apple has a bad habit of doing that, and that's the one thing that does frustrate me about them.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. I mean, the Final Cut Pro now is a marvelous application. I love using it. There's so many things you can do with it. It's brilliant.
Oh, yeah. I love it. And when they updated it for the Retina, where it would actually import 4K stuff, which we don't do, but just the whole thing on a high-res screen, oh, God. How did I do this on a regular computer?
Yeah. So what do you do? Do you sort of have it just on one screen, or do you sort of put it out to two screens? Because you can split it up and sort of get better views out of it, can't you?
Yes. Now, the Mac Pro, we do it. I have one 4K screen. The other two are the regular Apple, Cinema displays.
Okay. Yeah.
And I can send the main screen is the 4K. Everything else I send to the other, and it's cool. And I like the way it works like that.
Yeah, I actually did some work in Final Cut Pro the other day. I was actually making a screencast. I was trying to get something done with ScreenFlow. I upgraded to the new version, the latest version, which is ScreenFlow 5. And it just wouldn't work for me. It was dreadful to use. I couldn't get on with it at all. So I ended up having to go into Final Cut Pro to do it. And normally I use Final Cut Pro for when I'm doing, not the screencast, but when I'm using video that's come out of my Sony NEX 6 or when I'm myself or other people in it rather than the screencast type thing. And I was very disappointed, but for some reason or other, ScreenFlow today has been working perfectly.
Is that the?
And I didn't touch it.
Is that always how it works? When you really don't, when you really need it, it doesn't work. When you said, okay, well, let's just try it again, and it starts working. Now you turn around when you're going to really need it again, it probably quit working.
Well, I think the only thing that I've done different with it is that I actually brought in some video from my, it was either my iPad or from the iPhone, and I put that into ScreenFlow, and I think that one might be what messed it up.
Very well could have been.
The only way I could find out about that is if I maybe can do some sort of, we'll do another video like that and bring in some other iPhone video and see if that's what's caused the problem, see if I can replicate it.
Yeah, I hear you on that. That might be it. You never know.
So have you got any sort of new applications that you've been trying out lately that you've just got to tell people about?
Well, I've been using, Pixelmator a lot.
Okay, I haven't tried the latest update to that. It's gone to 3.3, hasn't it?
Yeah, I did the update for that. And, of course, the one I'm using a lot now is I used to like Evernote, but for some, you know, some of the things it would not sync with. So I've now gone to, since it's free, I've gone to OneNote, and I really love it.
Now, I've had a look at OneNote, and I just can't quite get into my head how to use it. I've been using Evernote as well. I mean, Evernote, basically, what I do with that is I just throw stuff into it that I think I might want to have a look at again. And I know it's there, and I can go and have a look for it if I need it. If I want to take notes or something, if I want to sort of write some notes, then I use something else.
Right. I've been using, as I said, I just started using it, and I've been using it for quite some time, and I really like it, but then I have a ton, of course, menu bar apps that I use, like, CrashPlan. And CrashPlan, what was nice, for the longest time, it was not working in the betas of Yosemite. All of a sudden, they did not say anything. I knew it wasn't working, but when the final version came out, I launched it. All of a sudden, I just said, it came on. I think it's set to restart, and I forgot about turning it off. All of a sudden, I got a pop-up notice. CrashPlan wants to use your internet. And I said, oh? Mm-hmm. And I looked at it, and they quietly just updated it in the background. And I like that one because it's very lightweight. Yeah, I just back up what I need. Because I believe in the belt and suspenders for backups.
Quite right.
I use Time Machine. I use Super Duper. And I use CrashPlan. And on Super Duper, I do a daily backup. And then also, I'll back up every couple of days and take it to my safety deposit box and then bring it back. Bring another drive back so I always have a copy.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to do those. I'm quite similar with the backups myself. I don't have something like CrashPlan, though. I have Super Duper, which I do every couple of weeks because I don't have anything that's desperate to be backed up. But then, of course, I've got my Time Machine, and I've got a whole lot of stuff that goes into Dropbox.
Yeah, I use Dropbox, and I use Google Drive a lot.
Right.
And, of course, 1Password. But I got a ton of menu bar apps, which are some of weather, radio tuner app that I can listen to a lot of the different clear channels for some of the talk radio that I like to listen to during the day because our office doesn't always get a good signal because we have a lot of stuff that interferes with radio because we got computers all over the place. And Sometimes they're not too friendly to AM radio.
Mm. I'll tell you something I found with Yosemite when I first started working with it is that I've got two screens. And when I swap in from one screen to the other screen, the menu bar icons for all the menu bar apps I've got, they just kind of went weird as I was changing over, and maybe there was maybe a second or 2 seconds before they'd settle down again and I could start working again properly, and that annoyed me, that did.
It kind of still does that, and especially with mine, I've got with a Retina screen. It sometimes catches right on, sometimes it doesn't. If I go into, you know, when when you're going from switching one screen to another, like my Twitter app, if it's up in the background, it kind of gets fuzzy instead of being crystal clear like some of the others. It's just a little here and there. Now, like in Yosemite, I have fallen in love with the dark mode or the dark theme. I leave my toolbars, the menu bar and the dock in dark theme.
Right.
Because especially if I'm working in apps that have the dark background, that bright menu bar does not drive me up the wall.
Okay. I tried out the dark mode, but I didn't like it. It just kind of annoyed me. I couldn't read the text on there good enough.
Yeah. It does, you have to make sure you do have a background. Now, I do make sure all my everything's in white, and I have a lot of, you know, a lot of my apps, like iStat and some of those, finally did do a update for dark mode.
Okay. Now, sort of going back to the sort of photographs and the art and type end of things again with Pixelmator, have you had a look at that new application called Affinity Designer?
I've heard of it, but I've never had a chance to play with it. Mm.
I've got it, and I like it. It's great, and I think to a certain extent it could be a bit of a competitor to Pixelmator.
Oh, cool. I use it a lot, and I use Photoshop a lot. That comes with the Creative Cloud, because I use it for my editing with the stuff that works just seamlessly between Lightroom and that. Other than that, you know, I'll play around with any kind of photo app if it's really good, because I like to find one that a lightweight one that's just for doing everyday stuff, and I'm going to try that one.
Yeah. Well, I've come at the Affinity Designer in terms of it being a vector designer application and for doing that type of vector designs, Illustrator-type sort of competitor. And just recently I've seen that there's got quite a lot of good bitmap editing stuff in there as well. And I think once that gets better, it's going to be great.
Oh, yeah. Because there's a lot of stuff that I just want a lightweight, you know, not because Photoshop is so heavyweight because it's designed for professional editing. But I like something, if I just want to get a photo that or a picture that I brought in that needs a little touch up here and there, I like the lightweight stuff that just will do it.
Okay. Well, on the other hand, though, I mean, there's an awful lot of stuff in Pixelmator these days, and there's an awful lot of stuff in Affinity Design, and that kind of moving towards being not lightweight and sort of kind of big.
Yeah, well, nothing as big as just like Office. It's a huge app. The pro apps like, you know, like Lightroom, Photoshop, they're huge to me anyway. But if I get one that's, you know, it's not really a... Which Pixelmator, you're right, Pixelmator has become a very, it used to be Elements on steroids, and I think it's even more on steroids now.
Yeah, I like Pixelmator. In fact, in Pixelmator, they're going at it from the other angle than Affinity Designer, in as much as they sort of, first of all, they were a bitmap application, and they put a few sort of vector design tools in there, whereas this other one, they're more coming from the vector side of things and adding... In fact, they're so new. I mean, they've right from the get-go, they've put in a whole lot of both of these two sides of working, and I quite like it.
Oh, cool. I'm going to go look it up and see what it is, because I said I try different ones, and because we do a lot of whenever we're doing, say, like we're going to do a mailing, a flyer, we'll like to use something that's, you know, that's really nice, that to do all that, and not all of us have the Creative Cloud, so, and I don't want to have to do it all, and I like to find something I can say, oh, hey, look, just try this one out, and I'll let everybody in the office get it so we can work on everything together. So I wrote it down. I'm going to get that.
So in terms of your own sort of stuff when you're doing your Apple things then, I mean, do you have sort of a workflow of things that you like to do?
Yeah, pretty much. Whenever, of course, email, I'm doing that. I will go through, since I live in Office, I mean, a Microsoft world, I go ahead and use Office for Outlook, which I really like. But then I just have certain ways of doing things, like depending on what I'm doing, I do a lot of stuff in Safari. And I do have Chrome, and I do have Firefox and all that stuff, 'cause especially when I'm doing Hangouts. Sometimes Hangouts and Safari do not like each other, so I'll go to Chrome for that. other than that, you know, just...
Yeah, I found that what I do with those is that I use the Chrome for if I want to look at something that's using Java. And I use Safari. I don't have any Java connected to that one, so...
Yeah, same here. And I said my default browser is Safari, but I'm in Chrome a lot because there's a lot of stuff I do in that. Because there's certain websites, especially some website for some reason, do not come up really good in Safari. And so I said, okay, I just use Chrome for that. Otherwise, I live in Safari most of the time, and then I will use I'm gonna also use iTunes a lot, and I do a lot of the video. I have a machine that for like audio podcasts. Well, it's my MacBook Air. I'll listen to them on that, but my videos I put on either on the MacBook Pro because I have a external Thunderbolt drive. And I also use that. I can also use that same Thunderbolt drive on the iMac to send to my Apple TV. And that's where I do all my video, watch all my video podcasts.
Okay, but do you do a lot of creating? I mean, or do you say you do all your creating stuff when you're actually working?
Well, I do do a. We still like I think I mentioned to you when we first did this. I do a in-house podcast that we do twice a month that I get paid for. And that, of course, I do here at the house, or I can use it. I have, the PR40 both at the office and the house that we can do all that. And then that's all done in GarageBand.
Yeah, you're still using the same microphone because you was using the Heil PR40 before?
Oh, yeah. I'm still having the same setup.
Very good. And so you sort of do mainly your creative stuff when you're creating podcasts or doing video. That's all kind of work stuff. I was wondering if there's something that you like to do sort of as a project with your Apple stuff when you're using your Apple stuff, your Macs at home.
Well, I've been working on getting a YouTube channel set up.
Right.
And I have put some test videos because my hobby is firearms, and I do a lot of videoing of stuff that I've built. Like I just got through doing a my first ever AR-15 build, and I filmed it, and I'm getting ready to put it up on YouTube. I'm editing it right. I've been editing it in Final Cut, and then a friend of mine showed me what I can use to set it and I'll send it up to YouTube. So I'm doing stuff like that. So it's going to be my first, and I'm see how it works.
Do you find that you shoot much video with your new iPhone?
Yes. In fact, I forgot the name of the company. I think it's Magpul. They make a case that you can put the iPhone 5 or 5S in that you can mount on a accessory rail. And I've been putting some shooting videos up from it, from the actual rifle when I'm firing it.
Okay.
And I've got some good videos. And yes, when it recoils, you do see the momentary jump. But so I've been doing a lot of videoing with the iPhone 5. I don't try that with my new 6 Plus because I'm not going to take any chances that it's going to get knocked off and go to the ground. Where the 5 is my 5 is my iPod Touch. That's what I'm using it for, and I use it for videos.
I found I quite like doing some videos, and the camera is so much better on the 6 than the previous one I was using. I'm delighted with it.
Oh, I used to carry around a Canon G10.
Okay.
Whenever I didn't have my good SLR equipment, I no longer carry it because that 6 Plus with that image stabilization, because I have real shaky hands.
Okay. That doesn't sound good if you're into shooting.
Yeah. And I take some fantastic pictures. In fact, I'm in this on G Plus, this smartphone photography club or group there, and I've been showing off a lot of my video, I mean, a lot of my pictures there, and that thing almost compares. It was not, it doesn't fully compare to an SLR, but boy, does it come close.
It's pretty good, isn't it? I'll tell you the only thing I find with shooting video, particularly when I sort of want to do sort of like a vlog, when I'm actually shooting video of myself, so it's a selfie video, it's kind of a bit difficult sort of holding the thing so it doesn't fall out of my hand as I'm doing the shooting. I need something to attach it to so I can do it a bit more safely. I'm not going to drop the thing.
There's a guy that's in our... that's in our group. He made up a selfie pole.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses that to do whenever he does selfies or does any kind of videos that he's talking into it. And it's his name is Michael Portis. And next time he's in our hangout, which is every Thursday, I will ask him about it and I'll let you know.
That sounds like a good idea. I was having a look on Amazon to see if they got any of those selfie poles that were suitable for using with the iPhone 6. And I haven't seen anything that's taken my fancy yet. But at some point in time, I may get one of those.
Yeah, because I tell you, he takes a lot of them, man. It's neat.
The only trouble with that is if you put it too far away from you, then you don't get good audio. You want it sort of closer to you so you can get good audio when you're recording as well.
Right. Now, I know some people that will use... like a suction cup stand that they can mount on the table, and they'll keep it where. But the only thing is, you can tell it's looking up at you, looking up instead of being right at eye level, which I think that's what you want.
Well, the other thing, a possibility, so I can get a good sound, is I've got a microphone. It's called the Giant Squid. It's a lapel microphone, and it's got a fairly long cable.
Oh, yes.
Plug that into the iPhone and sort of get it a little bit further away from me so I'll get a better framing, and then I could still have good sound on it.
That sounds like that would work, because the one thing I do say the iPhone doesn't do quite as well is audio at times when it's recording, but it's for stuff like I do, it's good enough. Like I still go out rail fanning, and sometimes if I don't have my SLR, I don't feel like putting the SLR into video mode, I've been using my iPhone 6 Plus to record a train going by,
right?
And then I, of course, send it to Final Cut where I'll do my editing.
Have you done any editing on the phone itself? Because there's some really good editing programs that you can use on iOS. That's the one thing when I went over to using Android is that Android is absolutely terrible for editing video. I couldn't find a decent application at all for the whole 18 months I was over there. And I was delighted to get back onto iOS, and I was able to use Pinnacle Studio for a start off, iMovie, of course. And there are other ones. In fact, the one I was using when I was over in Ireland recently is the one that was advertised or shown off at the latest Apple event, the one called Replay.
Yeah. I do. Now, like last year, I did go out for a little while. They did, and I didn't have, you know, all of my stuff with me to do all editing. And I did editing on the, you know, on the phone. And I used the iMovie because what Union Pacific was doing, they were moving from Pomona. They're one of the largest steam locomotives. They're going to restore for their bicentennial anniversary of the Golden Spike, where at Purgatory. They were moving it up to Cheyenne, where the steam program's held. And I went on a couple of the chases of them taking the big boy from where it was to being taken up to. To be, rebuilt. And I used some of the video. I used my iPhone 5S, and I edited out a lot of the little stuff that I didn't need. And then when I got through, when I got back home, I just imported it into onto the Mac, and I made up the full movie from that. And I said it worked. It worked pretty good, that iMovie on there. I got what I needed out, and I didn't have to do any editing when I got home.
Yeah, it's kind of nice when you can go off and do some editing on your iOS device. I was in Ireland for 4 days, and I did. I didn't take it. Obviously, I don't have a MacBook Pro or anything like that, so I could carry a computer with me. And I had just the iPad and the iPhone with me, and they did everything for me. It was brilliant.
Yeah, well, I had my MacBook Air with me, but this one a few times I didn't actually bring my MacBook Pro with me. And I had my iPhone and the MacBook Air, and then when I got home, that's when I finally went ahead and did the full import, and I stitched them all together to make the nice, 20-minute long video of the whole thing, which actually came out pretty using the iPhone, and people couldn't believe that was an iPhone that I used on that.
Yeah, it's kind of nice actually to be able to have these devices that you can carry with you and you can do everything. And for the shorter videos, if you've got some decent connection to the internet while you're away, you can actually sort of upload it while you're away as well.
Oh, yeah. I didn't do any uploading. I just kept it on that. And lucky enough, I had my iPhone 5S was the 64 gigabyte, and I didn't have too many apps on it, so I was able to store a lot of my videos without having to take off. Which I used up quite a bit of my memory.
Yeah. So have you gone for you shooting at the 240 frames a second so you can do the slow-mo, or do you do the 60 frames a second for the standard video so that it's your really smooth video?
I really have not done that yet. I have shot just regular, just let it go type video, but I have not played around with it. I've been meaning to do that and said, oh, I'm going to do it this weekend because I've got a thing I can do it with, and I never did. And I'm thinking about this weekend during our tailgating, I want to take some pictures, and I want to put it in the slow-mo because there's a lot of people that do flag football. That's where you get up in two sides and instead of tackling, because you're not going to tackle somebody on a piece of hard concrete, that you just pull the flag out and they're down like that. So I'm going to film some of that.
Okay, that sounds like fun. Well, it's been great talking to you. We've been talking for nearly an hour now. I think it's going to be long enough for a podcast. How can people get in touch with you if they want to find out more about you?
I can be found at Michael King 4023 on anything, Twitter, Facebook, Google+, all those.
And do you have one recommendation for an application before we sort of head off?
Yeah, main one, Pixelmator.
I agree totally. It's a brilliant application.
It is. And those people that did it, and I bought it when it was a standard, when you went to get it on their site, and I rebought it when it went to the App Store. So that's how much I believe in them.
And you don't have it for the iPad because you got rid of your iPad?
No, that's right, because unfortunately, or not fortunately, for me, the iPhone 6 Plus is just the perfect size. I can read, and I use iBooks a lot on that 6 Plus, so to me, the iPad became a needless tool.
Okay. Well, that's been absolutely marvellous talking to you, Michael. Thanks very much for coming on to the Mac 20 Questions podcast. It's been delightful talking to you.
I had a good time.
And thanks very much.
Oh, anytime. I enjoy doing this.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? All right, then. Bye-bye now.
All right. Catch you later.
So there you go. Me and Mike had a good chat about this, that, whatever to do with Apple. And if you'd like to have a bit of a chat about what you do with your Mac, get in contact with me and we'll have a discussion and we'll put it out as a podcast. So this is Dave Allen for Mac 20 Questions. Bye-bye now. Talk to you again soon.